Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you haven't already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Our 2024 ULU Annual Convention and Members Meeting will be held in Atlanta on Saturday, March 9th and Sunday, March 10th. This will be our first face-to-face meeting since 2019. So mark your calendars. More information will be forthcoming soon. Remember, this is for members only. So now is a good time to join Oodle. And if you are already an Oodle member, make sure your dues are current. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of Oodle. Tonight's topic is Black Power Cooperative Economics. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, sis. Good to hear your voice and good to be back with the family.
It's good to hear you. We look forward to when you come to present information that helps us better understand Oodle, its purpose, and its goals. Baba Hakima, where would you like to begin tonight's discussion?
Well, of course, our name is Us Lifting Us. And if you just think about it, that says a lot. And, of course, us is a lot of folk on the planet. And, of course, we must always look to develop approaches that make us effective in us lifting us. And it's not always about us lifting us, the organization, and the many aspects of our formation, but it also involves other organizations and institutions in the community that do good work and that may need from time to time our support and encouragement as well. Tonight we are joined by a brother. He's currently located here in the Atlanta metropolitan area, our brother Chef Curtis Ross. And I see that his mic is open. So we're going to entertain him, get to know him, get to know what allowed him to come to who he is today, and some notion of what he's prepared to do to participate in us lifting us. In other words, the general scope of us lifting us through a particular program that he has. Chef Curtis Ross, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want the family to get to know you, and over time we'll get to know you better and better. But you have that title, Chef, and let us know how you came to be Chef Curtis Ross and some background, and then we'll get into what you may be doing currently.
Okay, beautiful. Peace, everyone, this evening. And thank you for inviting me to this beautiful cooperative and union of us lifting us. I'm honored and with all praises with being in this conversation with you guys tonight. So a little bit about who I am and where I came from. I am originally from Trinidad and Tobago, and so how I became a chef, it was a beautiful journey as I reflect back about my childhood. And as a child in Trinidad, my family owned pharmaceutical companies and stores around Trinidad and Tobago. And we, which was called Ross Pharmacies, but we were herbalists and apothecaries and so on. That's what we were, as well as doing traditional medicine such as aspirins and so on. So I had the beautiful fortunate to grow up on our family's property where we had herbs, trees, fruits, medicine to eating, you know, bountiful provisions of all sorts. So there was this sensibility as growing up, as I watched my mother and my grandmother and a carekeeper that used to care the family's land and all the medicine that we grew. As a boy, as a little child, I was very fortunate to this gentleman named John. He walked me through, which he was blind, and walked me through and allowed me to taste and understand the bountifulness of what we had and what they actually did for us, you know, as for our body, for the medicinal purposes of the herbs and so on. So that was what I was, that is the foundation of where I come from. And then as we ventured and migrated into the United States, my mother was when we came here, we landed into New York, and my mother had that spirit of entrepreneurship. So we together opened a catering company. That's where, as when I got older in my teens, we opened a catering company, and so it was quite successful, featuring Caribbean cuisines. And we were migrated to New York, and then we opened a catering company in California, in San Diego. So this is back in the somewhat of the 80s, and so we, as time progressed, I had this epiphany idea in my mind to say, Mom, I want to break out and I want to do something much more exclusive and more higher end and understand food in a different context. So I sold the catering company to my mother. And then what I did was venture to becoming a private chef. And in the beginning of that, I started as being private chef to individuals that were just wanting to do a dinner party and or a brunch or a luncheon. And I would personalize that luncheon as featuring, before the concept of what private chef at that time, I was making the merit of saying catering an event for someone or some family or some corporation at that time, or an individual with some kind of significant access and resource. So it evolved into getting into some very profound clients as I ventured out and started traveling throughout the country in the United States. And then it took another turn. So when I reached around 18, 17, I started catering events and then venturing throughout the diaspora. Started in Costa Rica, different places, Costa Rica to Panama, to El Salvador, Guatemala, and I spent a lot of great time and lived in those particular areas, brought it back, that knowledge, you know. And when I traveled in these certain countries, first places I would go to is the market or the farms or whatever village where, but I primarily was attracted to going into the black side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when I spent time in Costa Rica, I lived in an area called Limon, which was considered the black, where it was a melting pot of the diaspora right there. Africans, primarily a lot of Caribbean people and so on. Same thing in Colón, Panama. If I was in El Salvador, I was then ventured back, brought the essence of that cuisine back to, and then doing it for my personal chef world. And so this is how I kind of danced if you will, throughout the country, around the diaspora primarily, and been very blessed and fortunate to be able to spend. So every year I would go to certain regions around the diaspora. Then I went into Latin America, spent a great deal of time in Brazil, lived in São Paulo, then spent time in Rio, and then this other place called El Salvador, which was, and then Bahia, and then other Brazil, it was called Brasilia, which was a whole African, which everyone knows in this program, which was a lot of the African, the highest population of West Africans are migrated in Brazil. So intertwining that nuances of what that country lend itself with the Africanism, which they held, you know, coming out of Ghana and Senegal and all parts of those parts of the region. So I spent time there in Colombia and Venezuela and so on. So I've been there and came back and brought those cuisines back. And it just really allowed my repertoire of food, which I am traditionally self-taught. And I was able to really weave these beautiful sense of culture, a little essence of the African culture, Latin food, and spent in Argentina and all of these different areas throughout Latin America, came back. And then my first trip to Africa, I spent it in Nigeria, of course, and then Shogbo to Yoruba land, if you will call it, a little bit of Igbo land, you know, or Igbo state, if they would, if you will, spent a great deal there. So, and then ventured throughout Africa. And then I spent time from Nigeria that period, and then ventured to South Africa. And then I lived in Cape Town for a pretty nice time of time. So as I traveled, I brought back for clients. So I had the privilege to be able to spend time and vacillate between different continents so that I can be able to weave and work with a client at a certain level, where at a certain point I started to be able to get very high level influential individuals and as well as companies, heads of companies, high level corporations, individuals, CEOs, if you will, or owners of it. So I had the privilege to work with some of the most profound people, some of the most profound diplomats and ministers around the world, and it weaved, and all of these things helped my repertoire to really help a sense of culture and a sense of unity about how you stage certain things in onto the table, the etiquette of food and culture, which we sometimes have missed. We're dismissed by that sense of it as we are embarking in a context of the erasure of our culture. So it's like, so I have cultivated and also weave these particular cultures inside, you know, from spending time in, you know, I hung out with which was my client, the Princess of Tora, Elizabeth of Tora of Uganda. I've spent time in Kenya. I spent time in Zimbabwe. I spent a great deal of time in Ethiopia, Morocco, you know, and so all of these things that, and I had the fortunate time to be able to weave these cultures, but also work for some of these diplomats and so on. At a certain period, with all of these things coming back, I had the privilege of coming back to the States and working for I used to work for here in Atlanta, Mayor Bill Campbell, and work as the bridge between creating and hosting a lot of the African diplomats from the 96 Olympics. So, and then fostered more relationships and taking it back to those particular world, or back to coming back to their country or going on tour. So when we spent time in Europe or different places, so at a period of my life, I lived in between Paris and New York. And so between there to and on the continent as well. And so I also lived in Italy. I spent time in Italy, Spain, in this area called Granada, overlooking Morocco and Tunisia. Spent time in Tunisia with my Olive friends. And so I would say that I really built a certain sense of tapestry of what I have come to where I'm going to bring this to where I am tonight now, but at this journey that I had at a very fairly young age, but also being able to have these clients that have allowed me to have the resources to spend time and give back to the countries that I was at by helping bridge entrepreneurship, actually at the time when I was living in South Africa, that was the time of the of pinnacle points of apartheid and as well as the AIDS epidemic in Africa, and understanding that, bringing Doctors Without Borders to the country, and I brought that throughout the country to be able to get medical aid for these particular places around when I was there. So as I traveled, there was a balance between giving and as well as taking the richness and the culture, understanding the traditions of the food. And what I have discovered, if I spent time in East Africa, throughout the East Africa, there was a commonality of the food throughout, being from the Caribbean, as some of us would know, being from Trinidad, as some on this audience would know, is, the roti and the curries. And one of the greatest experiences is to understand the Cape Malay cuisine, which is another form of a curry, to being in Kenya with their curry, with the South Asian influences, but also becoming like a melting pot of African traditional cuisines and then bringing that in there. So weaving, as I consistently would say, is this weaving this beautiful tapestry of cuisine and a richness of sense of culture within the diaspora, as well as and having this beautiful continuity. I hope that was not too long, but that's...
I'll come to man. Yeah, I'm hearing some of that for the first time, of course. I know the audience is. But you skipped over something.
And
doing my little bit of research, well, I saw a YouTube video of you in a kitchen.
Yeah.
And you were young, but you were in the kitchen with a bunch of teenagers. What were you doing there?
So part of what I have done in a period of my life was between New York and Bronx, as I stated earlier, the give back. So what I, at those days, we called it latchkey kids. So these were kids that we helped that were considered latchkey, or they didn't have, when they came home, parents was not there on time, basically. So we created rec centers and we created kitchens so that we can allow the child or the kids to be able to cook their own meal. So we created the gardens, we created kitchens, and they came so that they could be able to, so I taught these kids how to eat and cook the foods that they might have, if it was in New York, the bodegas, instead of eating the processed foods, but allow them to understand how to cook, if it was, as you saw in the video, it was some very amusing kids that were, wow, this is their first time eating or cooking vegetables, and how it was like a light to these children. So we created, I created this program that was in New York and Brooklyn to D.C., Maryland, and also in L.A. at a period for at the time that was called Latchkey, and that was it. So it was me giving back to the community to bring back the community, which I love you guys, this organization. It was lifting us and our children to understand and really bring them back to the roots, because they were also kids that were Caribbean and from Brooklyn and, you know, just as African-American kids, Afro-Caribbean, Afro. So there was a mix, Afro-Latin kids. So they were, so teaching them how to prepare their food was part of what we did as we were giving back. As I was doing that around the world, I was also giving it right here and domestically as I was bridging between those worlds.
I see. One of my friends here in Atlanta, he's from Guyana. He's a radio show host at WRFG, and we nickname him the farmer. But he often says that the first culture was agriculture. And so
that's right.
I know not only are you have a background in preparing food, but you understand where the food comes from. And from what I gather, you've begun to think of, since you say you're retired, I don't know if you are, because you seem to be But it seems that you're trying to, you have an idea of how you can connect the land to the palate, and you've designed in the process of designing a platform that would allow you to do that, involving at the agricultural level or the production level, you know, rather than landowners, farmers of our community. I think you call black and brown communities. But then finding ways to build platforms to get that to those of us who need the end product. So now give us a little sense of where you are now and what your dream is and how you see it unfold.
Okay. So I would say instead of a dream, it's a vision.
Yes.
And a vision that by the grace of God, it will be realized. That's what I'm calling it, because I try to speak in a place of realizing our visions, that if we have a vision and God places it on our hearts, it shall happen and manifest unto this particular time. So what we have created is a platform called Greens Roots and Co. 9. And the platform has three profound, robust divisions to it, to create a sense of an ecosystem to cater within our community, black and brown, of the diaspora. And the first bucket that I would explain is, and what I'm reframing this and so we could understand. So what we are creating is a cooperative of farmers on one arm, a cooperative of farmers, black and brown farmers, that will be into this, that we are integrating into a digital food system. As farmers, as far as domestically, as close to us as domestically and globally, that it will be a connectivity, even in a context that we are helping them get to market and open up the way that they can be able to see and realize onto the economics of their of farming or whatever they harvest. So using old or traditional African growing practices, but also being able to take them to understand the matrix of funding and digitalize that on a, so that it can land on the platform, so that the end user could be able to see the process between seed to harvest, You know, in our community, we have been formed, we become removed from who we are in the sense of the culture within farming, which you just stated, which was really beautiful. So we're igniting that and allowing them to become into the global market as we are creating this global marketplace platform. Then there is a piece that we are doing, and I'm putting this as a very simple, but we could dive deeper. Then the third arm is being able to digitalize the logistics between foods that to take it to the table, from the farm to table, as they would say, or farm to the mouth, you know. So we have created, again, digitalized and created the matrix as far as foods from the far as, you know, from Africa, the Caribbean, and Latin America, but also creating that matrix and knowing the logistics of how to get it to them to domestically. We are cultivating over 100-something acres of land here in America and domestically where we would have these black and brown. And when we say black and brown, you know, that is African-Americans traditional as well as we are having, you know, Mexicans to there's South Asians. I mean, there's so many people on this part of the world that are we could bring inside. We're bringing inside the cooperative that will help grow and create a certain sense of sustainability for our communities. And the other part of the arm is what they phrase it as our black and brown food deserts. And I think a lot of people on this audience understand or are food desert communities that we are fostering where we have, unfortunately, where we're not getting fresh, organic, sustainable food. So the need is in our community where we're plagued with health issues, chronic health issues, and it's all stemmed by primarily the food source that we're not accessible to, and that is one of the pieces. So one of the things that we are doing in our initiative is to create, to house it into our own ecosystem, is to create a campaign, a new context of the Black Census, where we are diving into the diversity of the cultures of what Black people are. In the census, they give you these generalizations, but we're going to dive deeper in the sense to bring them, hence the name of my company is Greens and Roots, but bring them back to their roots and understand their roots of origin of the way they traditionally ate, from the Africans, the Afro-Caribbeans, the Latin Americans, and the African Americans, you know, to be able to bring back that sense of food back, which creates a powerful nostalgic notion. And most of the foods that we ate traditionally from the beginning, which was primarily produce and provisions, were much more health-sustaining. But we have been removed from not eating locally and seasonal, so that has caused an epidemic of health issues throughout our country within the U.S. So our initiative is the need to bridge the gap and create a solution by our platform. And when we say platform, our website, our app, that you could use it on your phone or your laptop or your iPad or what have you, or your pad, and you could order, and our goal is to be able to deliver it within 24 hours as you make a delivery, so as you make a place an order, So the robust sense of this is, as we are creating, it becomes the because the objective for us is because we want to see the context of the economics of it moving more than 7 to 10 times within our own systems, because we could be create jobs, drivers, farmers, add people to the system and into the ecosystem and the collective that we're creating, and we can control and understand it and harness what we want to do within as we're lifting people to another level. And there's many other caveats that we're creating within this, where you could create your own entrepreneurship, dropship, so you could create your own online store, the whole gamut that this platform will actually do. So that is the bridge between what I understand, how to prepare it, and as well as put it into reality on the platform. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Now, I assume that in terms of logistics, you're not only dealing with food close to maybe an urban area, but you're dealing with rural, but you're dealing with international food sources as well.
Exactly.
So it means that you're going to have to establish a logistical platform to move that food.
Exactly.
You mentioned a couple of times that you may already have some warehouses or access to some aspects of transport. Give us a little sense of what that might look like.
So we have placed two parts of the country, East Coast as well as the West Coast. We have it in Florida, which has rail, our own warehouse, 100,000 acres. It will be a warehouse processing center where we could process it coming from the ports from Florida, from Miami, and then also coming into, which has a rail to come into that. That's one end of one of our warehouses that we will be processing and distributing the process. So if it's coming in from Africa, the Caribbean, or so on, it'll come in, and then we'll process it and repackage it and send it out to our trucks to get to our sprinters, to the trucks for the community. Our other location that we have, which is another port, and as well as a trading place, which is going to be, things are really going to happen phenomenally, is in Douglas, Arizona, which is on the border of Mexico. So not only that we have farmers, but on the central and the Caribbean side, there's another port that comes in from Mexico to bring in certain food, because we're moving things in certain climates that, you know, on the north, the southern part, we're able to cultivate. So in that particular port, there is some very profound things about to happen, which is also the highway that will be from Mexico to Canada. This is a new initiative that Biden has kind of helped close, which is going to be the new, and unfortunately, the only unfortunate part of it, there's supposed to be no actual physical guys that are going to be, like the Tesla of trucks going back and forth on that freeway.
Driveless.
If this goes from Mexico to straight to Canada, and they will have stops along the way as they're moving and transporting certain things. But driveless, but this thing is supposed to be the new highway that they're actually creating, and also it will be the port as well coming into the United States. Our competitor is there as well, which is Bill Gates. He has a farm. He has over 200-something acres of farmland that's up on that side. But we also have over 2,000 or 3,000, I think it's a little bit more than that, 5,000 acres of land that we will be doing, like, lamb and camel and and goat and all that other stuff down there, and also from the Mexican border doing some of the more other types of provisions that are for warmer climate. But that's what we would have down there. So that's another piece of it. Yes, so we have two areas that we are, and all of these will be the distribution and as well as the processing plants that will actually travel for the West Coast corridor and as well as for the East Coast corridor would be from Florida up to New York and so on. So
now, will you have distribution facilities in cities and towns, or will you just?
Yes.
You will?
Yes, we'll have like satellites that we would come to, because one of our initiatives is that, you know, there's a powerful movement in like Oklahoma and so on, which is these black communities that are getting resurrected, and the new Wall Street, Black Wall Streets are coming from Oklahoma to Mississippi, out of the Delta. There's one in Florida. There's many cities that are popping up in Texas and so on. So we are creating, as they're resurrecting these communities and cities in these black, we have an alliance with some of the black mayors that are coming and rising and creating these communities. And then you have the Israelite community, you have the Muslim communities that are building up and throughout. So we're going to be bridging ourselves within these little silo distribution centers as we're bridging it from the farms and so on. And then sometimes we'll be delivering through from the farm straight to the communities that are closest to. So we have a feature, somewhat of a feature within it, where you could be in, say, Seattle. The Seattle, I'm just using that as an example, and it will, the AI piece of this digital piece, as we cultivate the information, will give you all the farmers that you will be utilizing or bridging in your community that has from a 50-mile, 25-mile to a 100-mile radius that would, for certain things. Because our objective for the end user is that we're going to be at a place where we're growing according to what the community needs. So whatever origin of where you're from, if you want plantains, okay, we can get you plantains. If you need yams, African yam from Nigeria or Ghana, it's going to be cultivated and harvested. So if you need, we're bringing you back to the origins of it. If you need dasheen or spinach, African spinach or red spinach or whatever the case is, we will have certain centers that will grow certain things for that particular need in the community, which, you know. So those are the things. I'm sorry, but that's where we are with.
Well, Sister Q, are there any hands up? Anyone with any questions?
There are no hands up at all.
Okay.
There are none.
Okay. Good enough. Well, brother, you're going to be involved fairly quickly in a census campaign, or I'm not sure the name you call it. But from what I gather, if for instance, the Somalians that are in Minnesota or in Atlanta, in Clarkston, Georgia here, are associations of almost every country on the African continent, and of course they would prefer to have food that are a part of their culture. So you see yourself as needing to identify those segments of our community so that that you could supply that through your platform. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes. And so just to piggyback on what you were saying, our initiative starting next month and the campaign is to collect that data or collect that all understanding the diversity of the origin of what you are, what is the health issues since you've come if you are an immigrant, and as well as who you are if you're even from here domestically. When did it start for you? And then part of our platform, we're also giving a powerful education. So whatever you're eating, so the rule, the context of this on some of this is that we are also creating an arm where we're having podcasts and education that we're really engaging and educating the community about the health issues, mental health issues, and so on. And it's all by the deficiencies of not having certain foods available to create a harmonious balance of your system. So we're looking at all of these aspects of it and educating the community within that as well. So yes, part of this campaign is also collecting all of that sense of data so that we can be able to facilitate those deficiencies and those needs and educate the community as well on the platform. And then this campaign is set to be able to do that, which is we have an ambitious goal within this year to raise almost 1 million to 2 million names inside that database.
Are there parts of the platform that people can visit now, or how?
Well, we will see parts of the platform. The date will be to be able to preview the it will be February 15th, God is willing. And then it will be fully in function to be able to see, and we will have a narrative of how the platform will operate and use and every aspect of it and the whole matrix of it. You will have a beautiful presentation to see that. By the 15th of February, the latest, the 30th of February. I mean, excuse me, the 28th of February. You know,
so,
the logistics of creating this IT world, there's always some kind of, so we had to give ourselves a certain amount of, you know, you get one little hiccup, somebody got sick or what have you, and so but we are aggressively getting the platform so people could be able to see it and visit and understand every piece of it.
Yeah. So I know what you're talking about. You know, there's a saying that the road to success is always under construction. So
exactly.
We understand that. So you'll be close enough to us so that when the platform comes to life, we'll know about it and be able to share it with the family.
Most definitely.
Okay. The name of your company, your holding company, go through the name again and tell us what it actually means.
Okay, so it's we have Seeds to Roots and Group, which is our holding company. We have subsidiaries of that particular holding company called Greens, Roots, and Co., and Greens, Roots, and Wellness, which is inside of our ecosystem. We have another and it's really cultivating from the seeds to the seeds and giving people the deep-rooted and allow them to have that nostalgic notion of coming back to their roots and then harness that root so that it can grow to the next within and as well as without. With healthy
you didn't talk about seeds. I think I saw where you placed an importance on heirloom seeds or natural seeds, and give us your thoughts and your feelings about that.
So within our cooperative, we are also cultivating our own original seeds. There's this powerful, so we're taking certain parts of the landscape of farmers that will actually just be growing seeds for us throughout the diaspora, so that we will own and harvest our own seeds. And the importance of this is that these will be, some of them will be, a nice amount of them are the original seeds that for our plants, because as we stated, that we're organic, sustainable, no GMO, no Monsantos, because the seed that we're seeing that is cultivated, which has been a logistical argument, why black farmers are not allowed to be in a certain space is because of the seeds. And so the seeds is a very important thing to harvest and cultivate for ourselves. And so part of what our, part of our initiative within our cooperative of farmers is to be able to help them eradicate and be able to create the seeds and supply the seeds for them. And so that's, we're in deep conversations and negotiations of which ones of the lands that we are going to actually create seeds for. And so part of what we're doing is preserving and preservating us and our food source for the community,
yeah,
about how we see the future going to look like. So that's part of what we are about within, inside of what we're creating. And we're also dealing with, you know, from the seeds to, I just slipped my mind there for a moment. But that's what the seeds are. That's what it meant. And so part of my holding company is called the Seeds to Roots, and really allowing us to really understand the root of who we are through the food, because it tells a story in a sense of our well-being, you know?
Yes, yes. For instance, in our master plan, we envision seed banks in our communities because some of us are growers, you know, backyard growers, container pots and whatever else. And we produce some seeds, and we want to be able to treat those seeds properly and share among ourselves so that we're not having to go and get the modified seeds from the big box.
Right.
But you'll be doing it on a bigger scale, and we'll be doing it on a smaller scale, but the idea is the same.
We're all working big or small. We're helping people to maximize what that looks like, big or small. It could be your rooftop. It could be in the urban cities. I mean, it could be your balcony. But we will show you how to cultivate that and so on. So you will see education to the public and within our community on the platform to see all of the process. We're not, we're going to be very transparent about the education about the seeds and the cultivation and the importance of the seeds wherever you are. So, you know, as you're also accessing the food that we're actually putting on the platform on our global marketplace.
And we're getting close to the end of the show, but I want to make mention that you're probably open for investors. We may not want to go into that this evening, but I'm hopeful that as this process evolves, that there may be an opportunity for institutions or individuals to acquire a little equity in the, because the idea that you have is super big, super important, and you know, we certainly want to have as many stakeholders in the success of the project as possible.
Yes, most definitely.
With some skin in the game, so to speak.
I got you. And if we could talk deeper in that at another time, but as individuals, we could talk about that. And we have a pretty comprehensive plan of action of how you get into the skin of the game. Or, however, there's many factors. There's three major factors of how you could come into this that will, that you're part of the family of another way on the long term, on a very long term, you know, so.
I see. I spoke with you maybe a couple of weeks ago, and you were in the island. So you travel still?
Yes, I still travel because we were in Puerto Rico. So we're back and forth because I have to sometimes step away from it all. And so I'm back and forth. I haven't traveled as much as I am, but this year we're traveling a tremendous amount this year all through the country. And then I can't wait to be able to launch and announce that even on this show, we're going to be in different locations where we're going to be throughout the country at certain special events in certain places, creating our dinner series called the where you could join and also break bread, break boundaries, break barriers. So we're kind of creating something called the Calabash, the Endless Summer Dinner Series that we're creating, that it's an initiative to come into communities to shift and create social change. So this is one of the initiatives, and we're in a collective with we're partnering inside of their initiative, which is another of the Return, which is another organization who's in alliance with us called the African Diaspora Collective, and their main focus is to bring who wants to come back to Ghana or the motherland and back to the continent and live and be part of this whole ecosystem, bringing their things. So they're inside of a tour, a mission tour, and we're going to be doing part of the collaboration of that tour with them as well. So there's a lot of powerful things that we're going to be announcing very soon here that you could maybe see me in a different city or have a one-on-one with me. So that's another thing. That's part of the campaign. I'm sorry.
Great. Chef Curtis Ross, and we'll stay in contact and look forward to having you back to announce certain stages of your project that have blossomed and give us an opportunity for those of us who are interested to, in fact, engage, and then the events that you may be having. Sister Q, we want to announce again our March meeting. And any other announcements that you would have, Sister Q, before we close?
No, I don't have any more. Do you want me to speak up the convention again? Is that all you're going to do?
Yeah, I think, for the members that are listening in, we need you to go ahead and register, you know, begin to, and then obviously there's an opportunity to be a sponsor as well. But go on to our website, usliftingus.com, and you can't miss it. Right there on the landing page, the home page, there's an opportunity for you to click and look at the registration page. So there's three opportunities to register for the convention that's going to be here in Atlanta, March 8th and 9th. Registration is 9th and 10th? Okay.
9th and 10th. Yes,
that's
Saturday
right.
And Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. $35.
Yes.
And then the sponsorships start at $100. And there's several levels of sponsorship. And for those members that just simply want to give a donation to help support the convention, there's a donation button there as well. But it's important that we register. And for those of you who would be sponsors, and there's information on the page about the different levels, you need to do that fairly quickly. I think sponsorship opportunities are over at the end of this month. Is that correct? January? I'm not sure when it is. Maybe that's not correct. But it needs to be quick enough so that we can create the banners and the promotions for your business. It'll give us time to do that work. So I messed up the date. Did I mess up anything else, Sister Q?
you didn't really mess it up. You had the right Friday.
Good,
You're good.
And Chef Curtis, you know, I went out on the internet. I Googled you and I found you. I think other people can do the same. So you're out there. And
Yes.
I'm looking forward to some of your events so we can taste that food you talk about.
yes, most definitely. We could do a private one for members too. We could do a dinner there for that too. So that,
all right.
So we could definitely do that.
All right. Yeah. Then
may I interject right here now? We're having a convention on March 9th and 10th. Could I suggest that maybe the brother can have some samples or have something to do with the food there that was
it's a members-only affair, so he would need to become an Ulu member first. We're not going to let him in the door.
Okay, you got to be. All right. My bad.
No, it's all good.
My bad.
It's in the family. Good enough.
All right.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right.
Okay.
So,
all right, bro. Thank you.
So that's all right. Thank you so much. Ashe, you guys.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody that joined us this evening. Thank Brother Chef Curtis Ross. Thank you, Baba, for introducing him to the family. And we want to invite everyone to join us again next Thursday at 9:00 p.m. for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Out of the drum we come. As a people, out of the drum we come. Hey. Out of the drum we come. Oh. As a people, out of the drum we come. No. Out of the drum. respect yourself. Everybody here about to dance.